Legacy of Trinity.
This week I looked up Webster, what Webster has to say about heritage. Heritage is something inherited. It's a condition, a lot, or a portion acquired just by being born. So we have a heritage by being born again into the kingdom of God, and we also have a legacy. A legacy is the property or something left by a will or a bequest. And of course, we have the New Testament, which is the New Covenant. We also have the covenant, which is the promise or a solemn agreement. We are building a legacy. My message today is going to be, and I'm going to ask you to be reminded, and what Linda said just goes right along with that, about the Book of Encouragement. There are so many things that God has given us that we overlook, that we don't pay any attention to or any mind to, and we need to. We need to be aware of everything that He has given us, and we need to be aware that we are the living epistles, that He has written His word in our hearts. We have the word on paper, but He has also written the word in our hearts that we may be the living epistle to other people that He would have us to be. Now, there are many legacies that we have received. Today we're going to go into the legacy of the Trinity. There's a legacy of the Father. There's a legacy of Jesus. There's a legacy of the Holy Spirit. And there's the legacy that we leave to others. Now, in the legacy of the Trinity, first of all, I want to show you, and I told you at the beginning of this series, that there are legacies that are good or bad. First of all, we're going to go to Job 20, and we're going to see the legacy from the Trinity to the wicked. Job chapter 20, beginning with verse 5. The triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. So the wicked are going to look like they're going to triumph, and how many times have we seen people who are cheating, stealing, robbing, doing everything wrong, and yet they seem to be triumphing. But of course they are going to enter, and their triumph is going to be short. Verse 7, he shall perish forever like his own dung. Those which see him, have seen him, will say, where is he? They won't even remember. He'll fly away as a dream and not be found. He'll be chased away as a vision in the night. Verse 10, his children shall seek to please the poor, and his hand shall restore their goods. His bones are full of the sin of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust. Though he spare it, verse 13, and forsake it not, that he'll keep saying with the words of his mouth the wicked things that are in his heart. Verse 15 says, he has swallowed down riches, but he'll vomit them up again. God shall cast them out of his belly. Verse 17, he'll not see the rivers, the floods, the brooks of honey and butter. What is that? That's the promised land. That which he labored for shall he restore, and he shall not swallow it down. You notice God's not going to restore it. He's going to restore it, and it's not going to do him any good. According to his substance shall the restitution be, and he shall not rejoice therein. This is the person who's facing God at the great white throne judgment. It's not going to matter how much you have. Your restitution is going to be in what you have done. Verse 20, surely he shall not know quietness or peace in his belly. He shall not save that which he desires. There shall be none of his meat left. There shall be no man look for his good. In the fullness of his sufficiency, he shall be in straits. Every hand of the wicked shall come upon him. When he's about to fill his belly, God shall cast the fury of his wrath upon him and shall rain it on him while he's eating. When did we see that? We saw that in the wilderness when they fled and they cried and they begged for quail. And God gave them quail. And what happened while they were eating it? They even died. Is it drawn that comes with the body? Verse 26, all darkness shall be hid in his secret place. A fire not blown shall consume him. Where's that? Hell. Verse 28, the increase of his house shall depart. His goods shall flow away in the day of his wrath. This is the portion of a wicked man from God. A portion is his heritage, and the heritage appointed unto him by God. So we see the outcome of the wicked is already ordained, is already established by the Trinity. Now turn with me to Job 27, beginning with verse 13. This is the portion of the wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors which they shall receive of the Almighty. You'll notice that God has a heritage for the wicked. He told us that in Job 20. He's telling us that again here. If his children be multiplied, it's for the sword. His offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. In other words, there will be a spirit of greed. There will be a spirit of lust that cannot be satisfied. Those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widow shall not weep. Though he heap up silver as the dust, and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. And what is that? The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. The rich man, the verse 19, shall lie down, but he shall not be gathered. He shall not die a goodly death. He opens his eyes, and he is not. Terrors take hold on him as water, and tempest steals for him away in the night. The east wind carries him away, and he departs, as a storm hurls him out of his place. For God shall cast upon him and not spare. He will fain flee out of his hand. That's the heritage that God, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, has prepared for the wicked. Now, a few things of the legacy that we have received from the Trinity for the good. First of all, and I'm going to, you don't have to look these up, you can just kind of jot them down. Psalm 16:5, the portion of our inheritance is the Lord. So what we must consider is one of the things that we have inherited is the Lord. It's important that we remember that at all times. We are who we are. We have a goodly heritage in him. Psalm 127:3, children are a heritage of the Lord. Isaiah 54, verses 13 to 17, we are established in righteousness. It's our heritage. We are far from fear and oppression. There is no fear in the perfect love of God. Great is the peace of our children because of who we are. It's a part of our heritage. Those that gather together against us shall fall. For whose sake? For my sake. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's a part of my heritage in the Lord. Isaiah calls it that. It's a part of the heritage. My righteousness is from the Lord. Turn with me to Genesis 1:29. While you're turning there, Genesis 8:22 says, God has established, and he has a part of our heritage, or a part of our legacy, given us seed time and harvest. He's given us cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, and those will not cease as long as we are on the earth. As a part of that seed, Genesis 1:29 says this. God says, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in which is the fruit of a tree, yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Now, I want to stop there for a minute, and I want you to realize something here. First of all, seeding seed, when he talks about seed-bearing seed is the best seed that a farmer can have. When he pours his crops in, he takes the first of the first fruit, that's his seed, that he sets aside for the next year. It tells us in Mark chapter 4 that the sower sows the word. Therefore, the word is seed. In the book of Genesis, and we have gone over this before, so we're not going to dwell there, but I'm calling it to your remembrance, God has already told everything to reproduce itself. The seed of everything is in itself. So what seed, then, is he giving to Adam? He's giving Adam the seed of his word. Now look what he says. I am giving you earth-bearing seed, or seed-bearing seed, seed and seed, which is upon the face of all the earth. Where is God's word? Is it not on the earth? Does it not affect everything on the earth? So therefore, the seed-bearing seed that he has given you and I is his word for everything that's on the face of the earth. And every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, what are we? Trees of righteousness. So every tree of righteousness in the Lord has the ability to produce the righteousness that is in him. It's a part of the heritage. Now you'll notice the last part of that verse says, to you it shall be for meat. I don't know about you, but when you think about meat, you think of something that is not, something that's more substantial than milk. Babies go from milk, formula, right up to the meat. Paul talks about, I would give you the meat of the word, but you're not ready for it. But there was one thing that, as I did the scripture yesterday, that kept coming back to me. Remember when Jesus was at the well with the woman of Samaria? The disciples had gone into the city to get him something to eat. And the woman of Samaria came up to him and asked for a drink. And she said, why are you asking? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Why are you asking me? We have nothing to do with each other. And he talked to her. And as he's talking to her, the disciples come back. And he said to the disciples, I have meat that you don't even know of. My meat is to do the will and the work of the Father. It's important that you realize that God has given us his word as seed-bearing seed, that we can do the work of the Father. That's our meat. It's the same as it was for Jesus. Jesus said, my meat is to do the work of my Father. I think maybe it's John 16. I'm not quite sure, but let me just check so that you can see for yourself. Anyway, I can look that up for you later. The important thing is that we realize that Jesus said that the meat that he had to do was the work of the Father. The meat that we have to do and the heritage that we have to leave is the work of our Father. So when Jesus said, when the Trinity has given us seeding seed, the seed is the Word. The Word and God are one. Therefore, we have the Father involved in this gift of seed. The seed, Jesus, is the Word that became flesh and demonstrated us how to use it. Therefore, we have the second part of the Trinity involved. When we speak the Word, it's the sword of the Spirit. Therefore, he needs to use it, and it's the Word that the Holy Spirit acts on. It's that Word that we have that does what we need it to do. The Word of God, the omnipotent seed that reigns forever. And that is the fruit that will yield to anything that yields to it. It will create what it says it will create. What is another thing we have from the Trinity? We have love. God is love. We have his love. God so loved that he gave his Son. God so loved that he gave his Son that we would believe. God so loved those who believed that he gave his Holy Spirit. So we have, again, the Trinity and the legacy that he has given us. God has given us his mercy. Psalm 136, the whole psalm talks about his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. His mercy is his love, his compassion, his agape. He's given us his word, which is forever settled in heaven. He's given us redemption. We have redemption from the Trinity. We have victory in every area of our lives because of what the Trinity has done. Jesus could not have stayed on the cross if it weren't for the power of God, if it weren't for the Holy Spirit. Jesus could not have come up out of the grave. How did he come up? By the power. The Holy Spirit is the power. All right, here's our legacy from the Father. We move on to that now. Genesis 9:9 tells us about his covenant. He has established his covenant with his seed forever. Psalm 105:8, he remembers his covenant forever. He will never forget the covenant he has made. You and I, as a part of the legacy of Christ, come under the established fact of his covenant with you and I is forever. There is never one time in our lives that God is going to say, I don't remember saying that. I don't remember that I said I would do that. God remembers his covenant forever. 1 Peter 2:24, we receive healing from the Father, healing by the stripes of Jesus. Philippians 4:10, we receive all our needs met according to his riches. Whose riches? The Father's riches by Jesus. 2 Peter 1:4, promises, great and precious promises, are a part of our heritage. Do you know what that means? It means that we can take every chapter, every verse, every line in this book, we can take every promise and we can come, this is mine, 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 all through the entire book. Every precious and exceedingly great promise is already ours as far as God's concerned. Hebrews 13:5, he'll never leave us and never forsake us. Psalm 91, We have ordained testimony by his divine protection. That's a part of the heritage that we've received, his divine protection. We've received prosperity in every area of our life, spirit, soul, and body. You can prosper physically. You can prosper materially. But if you don't have prosperity of your spirit, you are lost and on your way to hell. And just like what God said to the wicked one, you're going to lose it all. But because of who we are in Christ, we don't have to worry about losing it all. We don't have to worry about ending in that stage. We don't have to worry. Our investment is in the kingdom. And when we invest in the kingdom of God, God supplies the need. Yes, there's going to be a battle. There's nowhere in this world that it says you're not going to have a battle. But we have to realize in the battle is not for the victory. The victory has already been won in Christ. The battle is, do you know that you're victorious and are you going to stand in what I've given you? Or are you going to back off? 2 Peter 1:3, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Think about that for a minute. All things that pertain to life, your life here on earth, your spiritual life, your soul, financially, socially, emotionally, mentally, every area of your life, he has given us all things pertaining to that. You know the scripture that says all things are mine? Things of man, things of the world, things present, things to come. All things are mine because I am Christ and he is God. That's why all things are yours. That's why all things are mine, because he has given us everything that pertains to life. But he didn't stop there. He has given us everything that pertains to godliness. You know what godliness is? God-likeness. He has given us everything that pertains to him in the godly realm as well. He's given us forgiveness. He's given us righteousness. He's given us wisdom. He's given us sanctification. He's given us everything that we need to be like him. He has given us the picture of himself in Jesus. The gospel is the picture of God himself in the flesh. He has given us himself in our flesh because what is Jesus? He is the combination of the deity of God, the humanity of man coming together. All right, that was in the man Jesus. Is it not in you and I? It pertains to godliness. We can do everything Jesus did. Isn't that why Jesus said, greater things than I do, you do also? What was he talking about? He was talking about this scripture in 2 Peter 1:3, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us power. He's given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions. There is nothing. You know what a serpent is? A serpent is something that will bite you, will harm you. But you know what a scorpion is? A scorpion is something that will kill you. The bite of a scorpion is fatal. So, therefore, if Jesus said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, he is saying, I give you power to tread on everything that will harm you and anything that will kill you and over all the power of the enemy. All the power. We need to realize that what God says he means. If he said all, he means all. We have all power over all the power of the enemy. We have the authority. We have the ability, we have the name, we have the blood, we have it all. But if we don't use it, it is not God's fault. It's a part of our heritage that we have not received. If I have a will, and I say to each one of you, okay, here's a copy of my will. And I give each one of you a copy of my will. And I say to you, you are in there. If you are like the normal person, you are going to rush to read through that will. If you don't like me, if you don't care about me, you are going to say, that's probably going to leave me much anyway, why bother to look? If you don't bother to look in the book, if you don't bother to look in the covenant, if you don't bother to look in the will, you're never going to receive it. You need to receive it. You need to believe it to receive it. But if you don't look at it, you will never know what you have. So he has given us everything we need.
He's given us the seed. He's given us the word. He's given us his son. He's given us his spirit to help bring it to pass. He's given us all those things, but are we using them? Romans 8:17. We become his children and his heirs. We become joint heirs with Jesus. What does that mean to you? Again, coming back to the will. If I put all of you in my will, you are joint heirs. You each receive the same amount. We receive the same thing that Jesus has. Jesus in the gospel is the picture of a man who would not acknowledge the lordship of Satan and would not bow down to him in any area. Sickness, disease, poverty, lack, death, destruction, failure, We have that same ability. Are we using it? Are you using the heritage that God has given you? Are you establishing in other people? What do other people see in you and I? Do they see somebody who says, well, we'll pray about it, and then, I can't depend on God for that. Either you're gonna or you're not. There are no two ways about it. What happened when John the Baptist was beheaded? What was the first thing Jesus did? He went out in the wilderness to be alone. And what was the first thing that happened after that? People followed him. And did he say to those people, leave me alone. I need time alone. Or did he turn around and minister to the people? You see, when we are doing God's work, nothing must interfere with that. We continue to go on. You don't have any money at the moment? You sow prayer. You sow love. You sow words. You sow whatever you have, but you never say, I just don't have anything to give. We always have something to give. You always have something to give. Whether it's a kind word of encouragement to somebody, whether it's looking somebody up, whether it's just a smile, there's always something that you can sow to show the love of God. Battles are already won by Christ. But our stand has to be that the battle is already won by Christ. Hebrews 4:10 talks about rest in the Lord. God has given us a rest. You know what that rest is? When you enter into that place where you are not working it anymore, you believe that you've received and you're praising Him for it. That's it. We are no longer at the place where we continue to be, oh God, give us a church, give us a church, give us a church. We have received that church in the Spirit. We thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That church full of people hungry and thirsty. Give us the saved. Give us the lost. Give us the those that need. No, we're not. We've already received them in the spirit realm, and when we say give them to us, we haven't received them. We are not believing that we have received them. So once you ask God for something, you put it in His remembrance and you remind Him, Lord, I believe that I've received that. That's it. My ministry is coming to its fullness. Your ministries are coming to their fullness because in the spirit realm, God has already seen it as a done deal. He calls those things to be not as though they were. And when He calls us into a ministry, when He has a call on our life, He already sees that finished. That's it with Him. He sees the end from the beginning. So when He calls you, He already sees you established in it. Now, we don't see it that way because we're the ones that have to go through all of the mishmash and turmoil to get to where we're going. But as far as God's concerned, it's almost like a prism. If you think of it as a triangle, this is the beginning of the calling of your life. This is the end. God is up here. You are over here. But God doesn't see the beginning. God sees you at the end. And the road that you get to from the beginning to the end is the road that we travel to get there. But God has that vision like this, almost like a triangle, if you can think of it like that. He doesn't see the bottom of the triangle from the side. He sees the beginning where it called us. He sees the end where it's done. It's done. Psalm 136, His mercy endures forever. We have received forgiveness forever. We are no longer worthless. Lord, I'm unworthy. Lord, no, we are worthy because He has made us worthy. We're worthy because of what Jesus has done. He's given us blessings. How many blessings to have God given us that we don't even see anymore, as Linda mentioned earlier. He's given us angels that move on our behalf, that are sent to minister for you and I, the heirs of salvation. Are you using your angels, or are your angels ready to move at the command of the Lord? And what is the command of the Lord? His word. People will say, oh, Lord, send my angels. God says, I sent them to minister for you. They're to minister for you. They are minister for the heirs of salvation, not to you. They minister for you. They go and do the work for you. But if you don't speak the word and say, angel, I'm commissioning you. Put a hedge around my property. Put a hedge around my kids. I'm commissioning you in the name of Jesus. Your angels stand there and do nothing. Or when we do pray, and we pray in line with the word, and then we say, never going to happen. You know what happens? The angels take a step back. They can't do anything because they only hearken to the word. And when you speak out on me, you tie their hands. Their swords drop. God has given us hope. Hope. The Father comes, from the Father comes hope. What is hope? Hope is the highest expectation of your faith. That's what your hope is. He's built that into us. But what are you expecting? Are you expecting what you're looking at, or you are expecting what he says? Are you expecting the seed of his word to come to pass in your life? I'll tell you what, we all get carried away with that. We all get carried away with what we're going through instead of what the promise is. There is no promise of God that he will not bring to pass. But we have to stand on it. And if we back off of it, he cannot fulfill it. We tie his hands. So one of the last things that I have listed, and there are so many more, is choice. God has given us choice. We choose every day who we're going to serve. We choose every day. Are we going to choose life and blessing, or are we going to choose death and cursing? Well, of course, that's a stupid question. We would all choose life and blessing, but are you choosing it when you say what you have? No, you're choosing the curse instead of the blessing. You see, the blessing only comes through the acknowledgement of God's word. All right? What is the legacy that we've received through Jesus? The legacy that we received from Jesus and through him, first of all, is our substitution. He took my place. He took your place before the Father. And in that place of substitution, he brought redemption. Therefore, one of my heritages is redemption. I've been brought back into fellowship with the Father. I've been brought back into his family. I'm a joint heir with Jesus, all because of what Jesus has done. Healing. Healing comes from the stripes of Jesus. Revelation 12:11. We have the blood. We overcome. We're conquerors. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Revelation 1:18. We are joint heirs with Jesus, but we are reign as kings on this earth. Why? Because we have been washed in his blood. We are made kings unto the Father God. We have the gospel. Jesus gives us the picture of the Father. So when we read the gospel, we see in the personification of Jesus, we see the Father. The exact image. Jesus said, you see me, you see the Father. The works that I do, they're my Father's works. The words that I speak, they're my Father's words. So everything that we do should be as a picture of what we see in the gospel. Jesus was obedient. He gave us the ability to be obedient. We have to be obedient to the word. And here is where most Christians fall and fail. Instead of being obedient to the word, when Jesus saw anything, when he saw the lame, when he saw the blind, when he saw the deaf, when he saw the dying, when he saw the fever, he did not succumb to that. What did he do? He spoke the answer to it. He spoke why he was there. He spoke healing to it. What about the widow of Nain, whose son was being carried on the bier to his funeral? He spoke life. He didn't say, oh, you poor thing, I can sympathize with you, but don't worry, there's a day of resurrection. He asked no questions. They just brought him back to life. The same thing with Jairus' daughter, the woman with the issue. You see, all those things are examples of our heritage, of our legacy that we have received. is given us in Romans 8:1, no condemnation. Condemnation does not come from God. When we are condemned about something, it's the enemy condemning. You should have done. Why didn't you? Should have said. Why didn't you? How can you expect God to move? Da-da-da-da-da. There is no condemnation to those who walk in Christ Jesus. There is conviction. Now, the difference between conviction and condemnation is condemnation is going to make you feel guilty. Conviction is going to say you're wrong. You better get it right. Very simple description of each. The Holy Spirit convinces that we are wrong, shows us by the power of God and by the Word. Another thing we have in Christ Jesus is we are free from the law of sin and death. Let me ask you right now, what is the law of sin and death? The law of sin and death is, if you sin, if you are evil, if you have not accepted Christ, you are under sin and death. The law of sin is death. There's no getting around about it. So when we do sin, what do we have? We have an advocate with the Father who will take that to the Father and say, I paid the price for that, Lord. It's already a done deal. They're forgiven. God took your life. And he wipes it away. Does he know when you sin? Absolutely. He knows the moment that we sin. But when we ask him forgiveness, we're acknowledging to him that we know that we have sinned and we want to receive his forgiveness. He's given us in Jesus, we have a legacy of the name of Jesus and the authority to use it. A name that is above all names, you and I can use. And it will have an effect if we believe in that name. Now, if we just say, and I can't tell you how many people call me for prayer, and we will pray, and we will pray according to the word, and they'll say, but it's a ritual. It's a ritual that we have to catch ourselves in. If we come to the Father in the name of Jesus, it's finished. Isn't that what he says? You come in my name. You ask the Father anything in my name, and I'll give it to you. So if I come into a prayer asking the Lord in the name of Jesus to do it, and I finish the prayer, I don't have to say again in the name of Jesus, because I already said that at the beginning. I established it. And this is what I'm saying to you. Get used to doing that. Because people who say after you pray, and if you don't say the name of Jesus, they don't think after you pray. There are so many people like that. There are so many people who take the word as a ritual, and they don't take it for what God says. We need to know who we are, and we need to know what we're saying. If I say to you, this is what the word says, and I give you what the word says, and then you go to someone else and you say, Pastor Shirley said, this is what the word says, and you tell them what the word is, Pastor Shirley said. What's the point? You already told them that in the beginning. You see what I'm saying to you? We don't need to get caught up in those little traps. We need to realize that what God says he means. And if you begin to listen, you will see how many men and women there are of God that do not, a lot of times, don't say in the name of Jesus. Does that mean their prayer is of no effect? Absolutely not, because the word is the word and the word doesn't change. Did you ever hear Jesus say in the name of the Father? No, you heard him speak the word. That's what God wants us to do. Speak the word only. Ephesians 1:3, and I want you to turn there with me. This is one of the last things of love. Here's one of the things that Jesus has given us. And the picture of you and I totally free from the devil. The gospel is the picture of a man who is not submitted to the devil or his work in any area. Now, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what is he saying here? He's saying that the Father in Jesus has blessed us, has, it's done, has blessed, it's finished, has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You want me to bring that down to today's English for you? Your every need is met. as you accept Jesus to be the Lord over that need. And that's why you don't get a lot of prayers answered. That's why the church doesn't get a lot of prayers answered. Because that need that you have is only going to be met if you establish that Jesus is Lord over it. Jesus already paid the price for that. I don't have to have it. No, we don't do that. We go along with the program. And we still believe God for the healing. But it's already done according to Ephesians 1:3. Jesus has gone back up into heaven. He accomplished it when he was here on the earth. He is not Lord over what you are believing for or the situation of your life. It is not going to come to pass. I don't care how many scriptures you say. I don't care if you get on your face before God. I don't care how long you participate in it. It's not going to come. Why? Because you have not made Jesus the Lord over that problem. You have not. Blessings. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Every natural thing follows a spiritual pattern. Jesus has triumphed over Satan. He made us show them openly. He's triumphed over death. Do you believe when you die you're going to go and just rot in the grave? Absolutely not. There's nobody here that believes that. Why? Because you know that you know that you know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord because you're saved. You don't have a question about that. So then why do we question anything that's wrong in our lives and not make Jesus Lord over? Jesus conquered hell, death, and the grave. Jesus conquered everything we go through in life. It's a heritage he's given us. It's something he has left us, a legacy. Are you giving that legacy to somebody else? Could you say just this one scripture, the last one, and could you say, I'm doing that. People are seeing through me that Jesus is Lord over every situation in my life. Would they really see that? Or would they see you staggering? Would they see you double-minded? Well, yeah, it says he is, but, you know, I just haven't gotten victory over that yet. You're never going to. Because you've not made Jesus the Lord over it. Now, that's a heavy scripture. And it's a scripture that we have overlooked. It's a scripture that we have not taken to heart. We think, all those heavenly blessings are up there. Let me tell you something, and you continue to hear this from me. God says what he means, and he means what he says, and this is a promise. It is a promise. He has blessed us with all. If you don't have that word, all, circle, stars, whatever color pencil, you should have it there. All means all, and that's all means. All means every. He has already blessed us with everything in the spirit realm that we can deal with in the natural realm. Make Jesus the Lord over everything in your situation. Take it in him. You've got kids that aren't walking with God. Lord, I give them to you. You're Lord over my kids. Your mercy hovers over them. You got something wrong in your body? Lord, Jesus is Lord over my body. Jesus is Lord over my sickness. Jesus is Lord over disease. Jesus is Lord over death. Jesus is Lord over, when you get that, Jesus is Lord over my finances. He's Lord over my marriage. He's Lord over my life. When you get all that and you give him that lordship and you leave it there, then you begin to see the difference. What is the legacy we receive from the Holy Spirit? John 16. John 16, beginning with verse 8. At verse 7, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Everything that Jesus said is the truth. The word is the truth. So, Jesus is saying, I tell you the word. It is necessary, that word expedient means necessary for you, that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go away or depart, I will send him to you. Who sent us the Holy Spirit? Jesus. I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will do three things. He will reprove the world of sin. He will reprove the world of righteousness. He will reprove the world of judgment. Now that word reprove covers three areas. It covers convince, expose, convince, convict. Expose, convince,
book. How did you expect Jesus? You had his name exposed to you. You were convinced that you were a sinner, and you were convicted to call on his name to set you free. So, he is sent to do those three things. He will reprove the world of sin, and what is the sin? For sin. But they believe not in me. So he's going to expose the fact that the world will not believe in Jesus. And do we see the very example of that in our world today? Because we believe now, he's going to expose it, he's going to convince, and he's going to convict. Verse 10, he's going to reprove, he's going to expose righteousness. He's going to convince people of righteousness, and he's going to convict them of righteousness, that they need to be right with God. How do we get righteous? Are exactly the same first thing. The third thing that he's going to do is expose, convince, and convict the world of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He's already judged. He's not going to be. He has been. He's not going to be defeated. He has been. He's not going to take us down. He's been defeated. He's been defeated by Jesus. But if the Christian doesn't know that judgment has already been passing, what does Jesus say? I beheld him and set lightning fall from heaven. If we don't know that he's already fallen, we're going to succumb to his lies. And we see it every day. We see people who are following the Lord every day because they are not convicted to the fact that judgment has come, Satan. You're defeated. You have no place in my life. How many times have you and I stood on that? How many times have you stood on that picture? I'll tell you how many, probably none. Because we've never had it explained to us in that life. But any attack, if it isn't good and it isn't perfect, in your life, in your marriage, in your health, in your finances, in your job, where you are, You've been judged on this, Satan. Jesus took my, he was my substitute. I'm not violent. Oh, boy, I hope I don't get. Oh, my, what if I get? Oh, no, you know this. Oh, no, you know that. Okay. You know how many people have told me you can't go to college without a physical? Yes, really, nationwide, regardless of Florida, wherever, you need a physical. And when they told me that, I called the University of Kentucky and Northern Kentucky, and I said, does my daughter need a physical because I want to get a family? The physical message. Well, what about meningitis? You know how meningitis is prevalent on campuses? Not in my daughter, it's not. She's covered with the blood. Well, you know what about this? No, sir. Covered with the blood. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. It doesn't matter. Well, everybody's getting their flu shot, not me. You know what? My flu shot is right here. And I'm not condemning anybody that does that. Please don't get me wrong. You go where your faith is, but you know what? Years ago, I set my faith on God and my doctor, and if he can't handle it, it can't be done. And every day people will say, well, not a little, maybe 3 times a week. You know, you really should get, I'm not fine. So what if you have? I don't. So what about your blood sugar? It's fine. It's exactly what God would have to do. What about your own blood count now? Exactly what God would have to do. What about your blood pressure? 170. Do I have to take it? I have a blood pressure machine in my room closet for my mother. I refuse to take it. You know how many times you've ever said, when you better take your blood pressure, I'm not playing there. I refuse. Why? Not because I'm better than anybody else, it's because I set my faith on that word. Now, if I go back on that word, what's going to happen? It's like me saying, open me, devil. Yep. I won't do it. I didn't want it. And I've gone through that in every area of my life. I've gone through that Satan just 7 times and hated it. I overcome it? Never again. And I'm not going to talk to you that way again. Sickness and disease through my grandkids? I'm not going to talk to you that way again. You did once, but I learned. We learn by what we go through. But if you don't take your stand, you are going to continue to go through it. If it is this, it will be this. It will be this, it will be this. Is it happening to my children? Is it happening to my grandchildren? Is it happening to my finances? You know how many times I've lived on water? I can't tell you how many times. But you know what? He's always my source. And it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me if I have a physical to rub together. I am still rich. And that's what I will continue to confess. And that's what this ministry will always confess. There will never be a time when we will beg for money. You know why? Because when we beg for money, we've walked away from our rest in God. The Word of God is the Word of God. And either you are going to take these scriptures and you are going to put them down in you, and you're going to keep them down in you because they are going to have an effect. Or you're going to continue to go through again and again and again and again. So now when we're on drugs and alcohol, you know how many times I went to the Lord? You know how many times I said these scriptures? I can tell you, 3.5, 4.5 years, pages full, I claimed every message. My family wasn't walking with the Lord. I found that my children come out of the land of darkness and they serve me. Those that are in my country, they are in my life. They should find the most righteous people today that there is. You know why? That didn't come by accident. It didn't come by my walk. It came by my believing the Word of God over the situation. I don't know how many times they're on this issue yet. I don't want to know. I don't know how many cars he crashed at. I don't know how many fights he was in. But I know what he is. And I know that the Word works. And I know nobody will ever convince me otherwise. Because you know why? I've learned the hard way. I've learned that regardless of what the standard, when you go into Hades and you live in Hades, you are living in the devil's church. That's like Jesus was talking to that church in the book of Revelation. You're the image. Be with Satan. And believe me, you are. No fear. We have people murdered right outside in the street. And this is why we moved to Oakland, where the children come up on the hill. But they live in the streets of the devil, and many times it can happen. This is the devil's earth. He is the God of this world, but we do not have to succumb to him. We are made more than conquerors if we know who we are. So, getting back to what I said to you, this is what we have in Christ Jesus. This is what we have in the Holy Spirit. He exposes, he convinces, and he convicts us. If you're not walking in the promises of God, you get convicted of that and say, nope, no more, I'm not going to back up. I am not going to back up. And you don't. Because once you make a decision and you set it there, you cannot go back. So, you know what Jesus said, Pastor Carl? There's going to be a price to pay. You're going to be attacked, and you're going to be attacked big time. Any decision you make, when you accept Jesus, you're attacked. When you accept healing, you're attacked. When you accept prosperity, you're attacked. And the attacks come and they come and they come and they come and they come, and they keep on coming, and you keep on standing using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Acts 26:18. This is why Paul was called. This is the legacy that God has left Paul. This is the legacy that Paul has left us in the Word. This is the legacy that we are called to carry on. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, to turn them from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. All right, let's put this down to a personal level here. Are you sanctified by faith in Christ? Yes. There should be no hesitation with that answer, because when you accept Jesus, you are saved, redeemed, sanctified, and made righteous. Therefore, you are sanctified and made righteous by your faith that is in Christ. Therefore, because of that, you have what? An inheritance. What is an inheritance? It's a legacy. It's something you have been given. What is that legacy? That you are to reach others. You are to turn them from darkness to light. You're to turn them, and this is the important one for us. We are to be turning them from the power of Satan to the power of God. Are you doing that? sorrow of Satan, and columns on power of God. There's a difference. This is what we have been called to do. This is the legacy that we should be leaving behind the others after we are gone. Children, grandchildren, neighbors, workers, co-workers, whoever, this is the legacy that we are to believe God for, that we are to put forth. We have power to put on serpents and scorpions. We've already touched on that. Did you know that when we have the armor of God, you know what the sword of the Spirit is? The Word. Look at that. Look at that one part of armor. The sword of the Spirit is the Word. If the Holy Spirit, with all his power, uses the Word as his sword, what are you allowed to do? Use the Word as the sword. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Or the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It's what he uses to overcome the enemy. We have the character of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit. Why do you think he gave it to us? And you can say, well, I have such and such a gift. No. It's to use that gift, be willing to be used as the Spirit draws us to be used. We have the truth of the Word of God. Now, as we finish up about our legacy, the Word of God says, and Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. We receive from the Spirit, but there is a cost. We have to be willing to pay the cost. And by and far, the church has not been willing to pay the cost. We want the blessing, but we don't want to have to work for it. We see good ministers, we want what they have, we want to be there where they are, but we don't know the price that they pay to get there. Why? Because we're an instant generation. Drive up eggs, drive up colors, drive up the iPhones, drive up this, drive up that, drive up that. Okay. Computers. What do computers do? They separate two people. Do you ever stop to think about that? The computer generation is becoming the place of separating people. From the time the kids go to kindergarten, they work on the computer. How many kids do you know that do homework? My daughter. On the computer for hours at a time doing homework. Very rarely do you have a teacher that says, I want you to take it home. Your computer broke, you're in trouble, baby. You better run to the school and get your little disc and put it in there and how could it take? Because without the computer, you are lost. Did it ever occur to anybody that if anything happened to our atomic power plant and there were no electricity, what would you do? Your hospital would have no records. Your gasoline pumps wouldn't work. Your truck couldn't deliver the merchandise. The cash registers wouldn't work. The computers in the bank wouldn't work. The billing machines wouldn't work. Do you realize how dependent we are on one little thing? We don't need to be dependent on anything else. He is our dependency. Our hands is our legacy to lead to others. You cannot give to someone or leave to someone something you don't like. If you don't know how to love, you will never leave life. If you have never received the love of God, you will never leave that to someone else. If you don't know how to walk in victory and you are not walking in victory, you will never leave that from anyone else. Because you can only give to someone what you have already received. And if you don't receive the Word of God, if you don't receive all those spiritual blessings in heavenly places in your life, you will never be able to get into someone's place. She was sick my legacy. How many times did you tell her, have you heard the difference? Here's our former angel who was sitting on the platform when the Lord came home. That's why I say we're sitting in church. That's the way you're going to be. That's the legacy that you're going to leave. Not a legacy of brown, cancer, and that's the devil's hurt. That's what the devil wants people to believe, that he took us out. Not God. When it's our time to go, we're going to go. We don't have to go in poverty, sickness, loss, disease, death, none of that. You can just walk out of one room into another. But if you do not believe that you received it, you cannot give it to someone else. If you don't believe what's in the book, if you don't believe the will, the legacy that you have been given, truly believe it so that you're living it. You don't believe it. All of them who fall, as much as you want to, they're not going to do it. Now, will you lose your place in heaven? Absolutely not. But you will lose some of the crime that you could have had by giving the testimony to these people and leaving the legacy to them. The legacy that I can leave, or the legacy that I desire to leave, with everybody I meet, with my own children, my grandchildren, everybody else, and you can live, you can pass. It's not me. Paul gave up everything he had for that legacy. He considered it done. Good family, good lineage, good stock, people with the Hebrew, Sanhedrin, very well educated, by the moral well himself. He knew it all. But he gave it all. He was done. For the cost of mankind. But once we know him, then we know that. Know that we have it, and that's the life that we have to live. Your life is a living legacy. People see us every time we leave our country. People see us every time we ask for downloads. People see us every time we walk around London. People see us in every hour, and people are always going to see the wall. But God will have passed that to the right. So in closing, I just want to say to you, but the legacy that you leave, or the legacy that you desire to leave, is walking in the image of God. Be a follower of Him. Trust Him. You know what Paul said when he said in Corinthians, we will trust in every measure. So much so that we will despair in the death. And we have the answer in ourselves. You and you and you and you and you and I, we have these answers in ourselves. Trust God. Trust God. God and His Word are one. So, this is my legacy that I leave to you. His Word is the most important thing in your life. If you don't receive anything else from that, out of this entire teaching, this is what you must do. But you must realize this, that what you receive performs a change in your life. What you receive, it performs a change. You leave someone, it has to be. And it comes to that part of Deuteronomy 39:3. Your trust. God can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for each other. You can only do it for yourself. Totally up to you. Amen? Father God, we come in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the legacy that you have left us as the Trinity, that you have left us as our Father, that you have left us in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that you have given us in the Holy Spirit. Father God, your word is the truth. It's the knowledge of the truth. It's the exposing us to the truth and the convincing us of the truth and convicting us that your word is true. That has even brought us into your kingdom, brought us into your family. There is no greater family than the household of God. There is no greater place to be than to be called your child. There is no greater thing to do than to trust you and believe your word so that we can trust you. We thank you for the legacy you've given us. We put it deep within inside our spirits, and Father God, we make a choice to walk in your word. We can walk on the outside. We can walk along the sandy shore and just look out at the beach. Or we can go into the water of your word and just go ankle deep. Or we can go still further and go knee deep. Or further than that and go up to our thighs, or up to our waist, or up to our neck. But Father God, it's what we've been off the shore and into the deep, deep, deep with you where we can't get far, that we know, that we know, that we know what we have and our path for you. And we thank you for that. Help us to be the the legacy that you have called us to be. Help us to leave behind only what you would have us to leave behind, as Jesus did. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.